This is Dr. XH Balthazar. I'm broadcasting once again to present my findings from the world of the supernatural. I have taken some time to investigate the Cape Henlopen corpse light. The expedition turned out to be a great success with substantial finds. The first is a recording of the ghost ship. I was able to capture the ghostly wails and the ship breaking apart on the rocks. Second, I succeeded in taking several photos of the fabled corpse light with a 35mm camera. The negatives are quite marvelous and shocking. Finally, after the recordings and photo were taken, I managed to grab a few samples of what I could only describe as ectoplasm from the tide. It was mixed in with seafoam that washed up onto the shore. This slime is a viscous substance, much like gelatin, with a pinkish hue. I have it here in multiple vials. I plan to present these pieces of evidence to the World Science Forum in a few weeks. The top minds of many different fields of study will be there to present their revolutionary theories and findings. I have applied for a spot in the Alien and Extraterrestrial Phenomena presentation, since there isn't one for the paranormal. Acceptances in the event will be sent out shortly, and I hope I'll be given a chance to explain my work to a body of my peers. It would be nice to see some old colleagues from the Institute as well, who I'm sure will be in attendance. This is all very exciting, but I would like to begin this week's transmission. Our correspondent, as I like to call him, Zed, has sent over a new case. Inside the parcel were a few audio tapes and a letter which I have been instructed to read as part of this broadcast. Dr. Balthazar, I have found some time to assemble this second package for a transmission. I have been on the run since my last correspondence. I fear that my past employer is upset about my work with you. However, I feel it's vital that you make these known to the public. They shouldn't be kept in the dark. The included recordings in this package come from an EOI taken on December 16, 1955. It was recorded through the stereo system of a professor's car who had been marked as high-interest target for surveillance. His research dealt with the verification of what the public had come to know as unidentified flying object sightings. The organization felt they needed to know his next moves before he did. I've also included the matching recordings from the officer who was the first to arrive on the scene. They aren't organized. Sorry, but I was in a rush. I have no doubt you will be able to piece them together in a linear fashion. I hope to send more recordings when I have arrived at the next safe location. Sincerely, Zed. I appreciate your contributions to these broadcasts, and I hope you're safe. We are all rooting for you. As the note mentioned, these files were taken a year ago in a small town outside of Texarkana. I don't know what it is about these areas that attract such paranormal activity, but they always get the highest frequencies. Maybe it's the freedom they experience compared to the larger cities. I would need to look into it in more detail. I'll mark that in my notebook for now. It's taken some time to put these two recordings together in a linear fashion that excites all of you listeners out there. I want to leave you all with some unknown factors since many of you might have heard about this story in the news. However, it takes on a new form, a more sinister one, in these recordings that'll make you think twice about relieving yourself on the road.
You really can't wait. I don't want to pull over.
It's going to take 2 seconds. If I don't, I might burst.
That's gross.
You asked. Oh, perfect. I'll be right back.
Hurry up.
Authorities don't exactly know how the malfunction in the system occurred, but agents with the Federal Bureau of Investigations report that they believe it was caused by human error.
Huh?
Members of the prison's administration don't know the estimated total of escapees at the moment. Police advise people on I-93 to keep moving and refrain from stopping for hitchhikers seen on the road.
Wait. Dan, what road are we on?
What?
What road is this? Are we on I-93? Dan, this isn't funny. I swear I'll leave you out here alone. I swear. God, where did he go?
Car 2.
This is Car 2. Dispatch, over.
Can you check out Interstate 93? Boss wants to make sure people heard the broadcast. You might even be able to catch a few of the escapees.
Sounds like a fun night. I'm about to turn on the road now. I'll radio back if I catch anything.
Dispatch, I'm seeing a car up ahead. Lights are on, so someone's around. Not sure what the hell they think they're doing. I'll make sure to get them back on their way quickly.
You're a patient man, Jameson. Over.
Hello? This is Officer Jameson of the Parkland County Police Department. Anyone around? You can't be stopped on this road. It isn't safe tonight. Dispatch, I'm not getting any response from the vehicle. Might need ambulances and extra officers sent to this location.
I'll reach out to another car. They're all with the feds right now at the penitentiary. We might be able to grab you one. I'll let you know. Check back if you need medical assistance.
Copy that. I'll reach back out after my initial sweep of the area. Over and out. Hello? Anyone home? Hello? Ma'am? Come to my voice! Ma'am, are you all right? You can't be stopped here. It's very dangerous.
We have to go. He got Dan. I know it.
Who did? Jesus Christ!
Dispatch, I need medical assistance and backup on Interstate 93 now. There's been an accident. I believe I see one of the escaped convicts as well.
Copy that. Backup is headed your way.
Stay by the car.
What are you gonna do? Oh my God. Oh my God, it's him!
Freeze! Raise your hands and step towards the vehicle. I said move! Keep those hands raised. All right, face the car and put the hands on the hood. What the hell happened to your hand? Someone give you that hook?
I needed something of greater use than my flesh.
Hands behind your back. Guess I'll just... Try that again and I'll put one right between your eyes.
I want you to...
Get on the ground.
Put a bullet in me. I dare you.
On the ground now!
I hope you're quick.
Dispatch, it's Jameson. What's the status of the medical team? Over.
They're en route. They should be at your position any moment.
Are you all right?
I'm okay. Did he get you?
No. I'm guessing the head over on the car is your boyfriend.
Yes.
I'm sorry I didn't get here sooner.
Officer Jameson and poor Evelyn waited for the ambulances and the other officers to arrive on the scene. The forensic team took photos, collected samples, and bagged the rest of the gore that was lying about the scene. They even picked up the remainder of Dan. Evelyn was taken to the hospital and treated for shock and superficial wounds. Jameson waited till the killer was placed in a body bag. He watched as the ambulance took off toward the mortuary. Other officers in Parkland County rounded up the rest of the escaped convicts and brought them to the local precinct for holding. According to a junior policeman, it was not an ideal situation, but it needed to be done. The story doesn't end here. Officer Jameson filled the paperwork that night and headed home to sleep off the past events. When the ambulance carrying the man arrived at the Parkland mortuary, the men were baffled to find an empty body bag. No one had let it go out of their sight. It was as if he had vanished into thin air. Officers report a taste of electricity in their mouths right before the back doors were opened. They never noticed the bag deflate or change its shape at any point during the ride. A few minutes later, Officer Jameson awoke in his bedroom to the sound of metal being dragged across the exterior of his house. He grabbed his revolver and headed downstairs to investigate. He called out to the intruder but received no response.
Hello?
The assailant then broke in through the back porch door and attacked. Officer Jameson caught a hook in his right shoulder. After a few shots to the man's chest, Officer Jameson fell back with the hook still lodged in him. The intruder was nowhere to be found after the smoke had settled, even though Jameson swore he hit the convict like he had previously on the highway. Investigators implemented a curfew in Parkland County. There are patrols throughout the night in most of the densely packed neighborhoods. They believe the killer is still at large. Officer Jameson has been sent to a psychiatric hospital to deal with a trauma involving the events of that night. His superiors will not comment on his current mental state. You all may recognize this tale as the precursor moment to the Texarkana Moonlight Murders. Officials were unable to locate the mass serial killer who dealt pain and suffering to the townsfolk in that small town. All of the murders had the same modus operandi of rash, jagged cuts dealt with a hooked razor of sorts. There were similar marks to the injury Officer Jameson was dealt by the hooked hand man. It would seem that this convict had a greater power than any man, but it's unclear how he obtained it. Maybe it was some sort of magic ritual he had initiated before the prison break. Maybe it was the two bullets that killed him, allowing his body to accept supernatural power. This is all speculation, but I feel it may lead to something concrete. That is all for this tale. As I mentioned before, I'm quite occupied at the moment preparing for my presentation. It looks as though I will not be able to broadcast for the near future. I want to make this the best it can be, since this could be the start of a new era of scientific research. So, I will be taking a break from my transmission for the moment. I hope to be broadcasting to you all once again with more news of the supernatural and my latest endeavors in the scientific realm. I thank you for spending your time listening to my recollections of the pre-natural. This is Dr. X.H. Balthazar. Signing off for now. Goodbye and good night.
Fear Frequency was written by Danny Fossetta and created by Kristen Verbitsky. Produced by Adam Hinneker. Voiced by Mallory Bryant, Tate Winston, and Andrew Steiner.